Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
Welcome to Your national orienteering podcast. In this episode, there is a lot of races we will look at. But when we are recording this in Sunday evening, I assume it has been a lot of orienteers today been interesting in Paris Marathon, because as some of the orienteers has been in Hungary preparing for European champs, there has been an orienteering runner running in Paris trying to qualify for Olympic champs. And it looks like, he is in good way to become an Olympian, this guy, Mathias Geburts, after his Paris Marathon this morning.
Yeah, we had him on board of our podcast a few weeks ago after he won the Swiss Half Marathon Championship. And then he talked about his ambitions, saying it was a very, very high ambitions level to reach the Olympic standard of 2 hours, 8 minutes and 10 seconds. And he did a absolutely fantastic performance this morning, running in to the finish in 2 hours, 7 minutes and 44 seconds, beating the Olympic standard with more than 20 seconds. And as he's only the second Swiss runner that has beaten the Olympic standard. And I can't think that there will be two more, even if there will maybe not even be one more. So I think that's more or less confirmed ticket to Paris Marathon, the Olympic Marathon in Paris in August for Geburts.
And that will be held on the 10th of August. Saturday, 10th of August. Is it? I have to admit that I don't know if it's the latest competition in the Olympics. It used to be that, isn't it?
Oh, I haven't been checking that much on the Olympic schedule, but yeah, it could be that it's on the last weekend of the Olympics. Not that that is very important, but I mean, it was very cool to follow I was following the marathon on TV. It was sent in Eurosport. Unfortunately, we only saw the front runners, so Kibus, we only saw him a bit in the start and then on the last stretch to finish. But yeah, there was a lot of clips on Instagram, and you could follow his times each 5 kilometer. And you know, he ran like a Swiss clock the first 30 kilometers, and then 30 to 35 and 35 to 40. The course was a bit tougher, and there his times went up a bit, but in the end it was the last 2 kilometers were flattish downhill, and then he could run as fast enough in the last few kilometers to stay within the limit. I think it was about a minute ahead of schedule halfway, or like at 30 kilometers, and then he lost a little bit of time. But it was enough. And you know, the Paris Marathon, it's not known as a very, very fast course. It's not as flat as Berlin, for example. So it is fair to assume that he actually has a faster time within himself. Also, with now he's only been doing 3.5-4 months with specific marathon training. So one can imagine that with a couple of more months, he could be able to run equally fast in a tougher course at the Olympics. And if he can do anything like 2:07, 2:08 in the Olympics, I think he will get a great result.
Yeah, and when we talked to him, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, he was about the course in Paris this Sunday. It was an uphill in the end there, who would take out the last of every runner. So he probably has something more to, and maybe you're not doing your ever best marathon the first time you're running it. So really impressive, we have to say.
Yeah, and if I've been reading it correctly, he has the fourth fastest debut marathon of European runners all time. So I mean, the time itself is unique with his background. Yeah, he's running his first marathon. He's an orienteer, but to do it this quickly on the first time, that's it's only a couple of other Europeans that have ever been able to do that before.
Yeah, really impressive, and that means that he will be an Olympian this summer and not take part in the World Champs in orienteering. And so Hogström, there is maybe a question mark if she will also take part in the World Champs this summer, because there has been a new operation for her. No, it has been a back surgery for her after her surgery earlier this winter also.
Yeah, after her operation, her surgery in the foot, there was also some talk that there might be a back surgery also, and now she has been able to do that. From what I've heard, it's when reading, it looks like it's been, the surgery went well, and it's very much a touch and go if it's enough time to get back for the World Champs. It's about 100 days until the World Champions from the day of the surgery. So just over 3 months. It's not a lot of time, but she has her personal spot as she's the European champion in the individual sprint. So she doesn't have to qualify. So she doesn't have to be in form for the World Cup in Switzerland, Italy. So she can focus everything on the World Champs. But yeah, it's still touch and go, and it's hard to say if it's enough of time.
Yeah, she's herself talking about plan A, B, and C, actually. So the A, plan A is to go for the World Champs. Plan B is go for European Champs, who is coming in August. And the C plan is just to let the body take the time and recover when she is ready to compete again.
Yeah, but I think definitely it means that she's definitely missing Tuomela. Might even miss Jukola. So, of course, that's a big blow for IFK Göteborg on the women's side. The big, big favorites for both those relays. But, yeah, especially for Tuomela, they should have enough quality in the teams to be able to win. I think Jukola might be harder if Hagström is not there. I think a team like Stora Tuna should be able to challenge them on Jukola over four legs only.
Yeah, that will be really interesting to see when we are there in June. But there has been some races also this weekend and this week. We can start with a quite interesting racing in France. Was actually early this week in the last days of the Easter.
Yeah, the French Championship in Sprint Relay were organized in Saint-Maximé in the southeast of France on the Easter Monday. So the same day as we recorded our last episode. But yeah, we didn't bring this up then. What's cool is that it was broadcasted live on the IOF TV with Jonas Merz as a commentator. And also on YouTube with the French commentators. But I think it's always cool to see, get more and more races from different countries into the live IOF TV. I don't know how much ads they were doing about this race, because I didn't know that it was going to be broadcasted live on IOF TV. I was a bit busy on Monday, but yeah, normally, you know, if I would have known a race like this is on TV, then I would have been trying my best to get to follow it. So maybe IOF TV can do some more or better presentation of the relays they will be broadcasting. Because normally I think I would be decent at finding out these things that they are coming. I missed it this time, unfortunately. But yeah, it was a special race in a way that close to the arena, there were two, I think it was, yeah, football fields or parking lots, two very, very big paved areas where they had put out a lot of fences or barriers, a total of 176 barriers to create two labyrinths, and then they put a lot of forkings inside the labyrinth, so there was a lot of controls in the labyrinth at the end, at the start and the end of the courses. I think those of our listeners who haven't seen the maps, you can find them in Logator with the GPS as well. It looks pretty cool with all the controls and the forkings in this labyrinth area, and then also the rest of the course looks really good for a sprint relay.
You know what they call those barriers in Norway?
Oh, you know, I haven't been living in Norway for a long time, so I don't know.
We call it French fences, because all of the demonstration in France, you have those fences always when there are demonstrations. So that's quite ironic when you have those in French champs also.
Yeah. And then the sportity way of the event was also quite exciting. It could have been much more exciting because we had four teams within half a minute. But one of the teams were running out of competition, as Josefine Tjernlund, the Swedish runner, was running the last leg of the team. And you have to be French to be counting for the French championship. And then another team that were in the fight for the medals were also disqualified. So in the end, ISU from Annecy with Cécile Calandre on the last leg took home the victory ahead of Aka with a strong team with Diane Huber, Matthias Barosweier, and Adrienne and Annabelle Delen on the last two legs. They were the silver medalist, and then there was a big gap from these teams and down to the bronze medalist. I was just looking through a bit the YouTube video, and it looked really cool. A lot of running cameras, a lot of GPS showing, and then also a tight battle in the end, both for the win in the race and for the third place, even if, yeah, two of the teams in that fight were not eligible for the results as they were mispunched and not running out of competition. So, yeah, it seems pretty good. I haven't been watching the full two-hour videos. There was a lot of talk in studio before the race was 1 hour, and I maybe spent 10 minutes looking through the highlights of it. So yeah, something I would recommend people to have if you have a bit of spare time, you could have a look at that.
Yeah, definitely. And there was also an individual race there
In France.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that last episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going further on to a new relay, actually.
Yes. So that was, we are now recording on Sunday evening. So that was this morning. I was just following the live results of the traditional Kolmårdskavlan in Sweden. Unfortunately, not with really good starting fields this time. In the women's class, it was only 15 teams. In the men's class, it was just over 30. Normally, you have a lot more teams. But yeah, it's a bit bad timing of the year this time with the opening of the Swedish League and Swedish Relay League last week. And also next weekend, there is a Swedish Championship in outdoor orienteering and another race in the Swedish Relay League. So obviously, the clubs not in the area didn't prioritize this race. And on the women's side, we had a big favorites in Iktisa with a very good team, but they mispunched on the first leg and got disqualified, meaning that Södertälje, Nick Warren first team, won the relay ahead of a mixed team between Iktisa, two runners from Iktisa that were not fit in the first team. One runner from Hellas and one runner from Tullinge. So I think we don't really count this team in the relay, meaning that Södertälje second team was the second team and then Linköping was the third team. But yeah, here the gaps were pretty big. And even if Linköping had a pretty decent team on the... they field a pretty decent team to the start line, but they didn't perform really well. And they were almost 12 minutes behind the team of the young Södertälje girls. So... not the most exciting relay, but I think it will be more exciting in relays coming up later this spring.
Yeah, definitely. And It was also a bit more exciting in the men's relay.
Yeah, here there was quite some teams with good lineups. Uko Ravinen won. Not really a surprise. They had a really good team with, of course, with Gustav Bergman on the last leg, but also with Emil Granqvist, Erik Herne, and Love Bechel. They were probably the favorites before the race if you looked at the entered teams. But they tried to make it exciting. Love Bechel lost 6 minutes on the first leg, and then they ran really well on the last three legs. And yeah, on the last leg, Gustav Bergman could take them up from fifth place to first place. But yeah, it was not given because Gustav Bergman, he started behind a strong runner like Martin Regborn. And I mean, yeah, Gustav is always really, really, really good in these kind of relay races. But it's not given that he's beating Martin Regborn head to head. But yeah, today there was no question, and Regborn and Hagaby finished almost 3 minutes down in second place, with Södertälje Kvarn in third place, just behind there.
It's interesting to see that Gustav Bergman, Martin Regborn, and also Isak von Krusenstjerna, they are running Kolmårdskavlen. Because when we are continuing here, we are seeing that a lot of other potential European champs runners for Sweden are in Sweden now, are in Hungary, preparing for European champs and running some races there. Yeah. Maybe because of they don't want to travel so much in the spring, prioritizations of and the club before own ambitions or anything. It can have been much travel during Easter also, but at least there was quite good starting fields in the races in Hungary that we will go through now.
Yeah, really, really big starting fields in Hungary, where it was this Spartacus Spring Cup being organized in Tirrén next to the European Champs Tirrén, that is waiting for the top runners in August, official training camp, a world ranking sprint, I think it was on Thursday, and then a long distance on Saturday and a middle distance on Sunday. And I think we saw some really, really, really good performances this weekend.
Yeah, and we can start with one who has been dominating the races, I would say.
Yeah, so already on the sprint on Thursday or Friday, Simone Eberscholt, the reigning world champion at long distance, she won impressively in the sprint race there, beating Rita Marion Rossi, the reigning junior world champion, with 21 seconds. Teresia Noshikova was 27 seconds down. And then in fourth place, we have shared fourth place with the two Norwegians, Pia Jungvik and Andrine Benjaminsen. And Evelie Kasiku in sixth place was 1:20 behind. So the gaps are looking big. And that's always a sign of a good race when a top runner is beating other top runners with significant margin.
Yeah, and Simona is telling to Even National Orienteering Podcast that she was happy with the race, but she was quite surprised in how technical it was, and she had some trouble in being fast enough on the map. And she felt a bit tired from the orienteering intervals in the morning, but she didn't have any bigger mistakes, so she could secure a victory there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's extremely impressive to see Mara Marose in second place. It's not a surprise, but it's still so impressive every time because she's so young and still at such a high level against the absolute elite runners. And I mean, yeah, she has jaywalked this summer. She has jaywalked this summer, but also at the World Championship, she should be a very relevant runner there.
Yeah, we know she took part in the World Champs already 2 years ago, but when she, especially on a technical sprint, I mean, it's impressive. She's up there fighting among the, I would say, world elite runners. There was a world elite runner winning the men's class also here.
Yeah, no surprises on the men's side either. Kasper Fosse. Yeah, I mean, it was much, much closer on the men's side, but I think that is normal. And I think it's still a significant gap, 16 seconds ahead of Mika Kirmula, 21 seconds ahead of Zoltán Bojdusu. And then we have good runners like Wojciech Kral in fourth place, Gustav Runefors in fifth place, Tobias Alstad in sixth place, the reigning junior world champion Anselm Reichenbach in eighth place, 36 seconds down. Kasper Foster, he's obviously been doing well this winter training. I think the last few weeks he's been complaining a little bit on Strava that his body is feeling a little bit tired, but it seemed to be working well here on the sprint race.
Yeah, he's also telling that to Even National Orienteering Podcast that he has suffered with a body that doesn't feel so good lately. But so physically, it felt as expected, quite bad during the race. But good to see that he, even though, can be on top, and he take that as a sign of maybe it's getting a bit better. But the technical performance was good in a cool and demanding course, and because of the body that's not responding as he wants, he took it quite easy on the long and middle distance later this weekend. And on the long distance, it was the same winner in the women's class.
Yeah, and the margin were really, really big. Another good race from Simone Eibersholt, beating Andrine Benjaminsen with 4 minutes. Teresa Janoszyskova in third place was 7 minutes down. Just behind there, we have Pia Rumvik, showing again that her victory in the Swedish League long distance, that was not luck. She's coming to stay in the top of the result list, also in women's 21 elite, and not just as a junior star last year. Rita Maria Marose with another impressive performance, being fifth in a strong start field, beating runners like Venla Hagiu, Denisa Kosova, Evli Kasiku, and so on. And also, in the last in the top 10, kind of a comeback from Camilla Steve. The gaps are 14 minutes from Simone Eibersholt to Camilla Steve in 10th place. So I think it says a lot about the physical capacity of Simone Eibersholt at the moment. She's running at a different level. And when she's also doing good orienteering, the others have no chance.
Yeah, but we also should add that we don't know how much they've been training during this week, and it's quite hilly in Hungary here, so some may have been working a lot in the hills the days before these races and not being so sharp. But I don't think Eversol is doing less training than the others, but it could be like that further down in the result list. But as you mentioned, interesting to see Camilla Staver on a training camp in the country that will hold the Europeans. That meaning she is going for that champs. And what Simone Eibersholt definitely will do. And she's telling Even National that she felt surprisingly good on this long distance after being a bit tired before the race. And she has been doing a good race all the way through. So only just half a minute mistake. So quite solid, I would say.
Yeah, and talking about the dominating performances on the men's side, we saw a similar level. Topi Syrjäläinen, the Finn from Helsingin Suunnistajat, won the race with more than 4 minutes ahead of Simon Imark. Janis Bonek, the World Cup winner from Czech Republic last year, the bronze medalist from World Champs, he was number three, but almost 5 minutes down. Very, very impressive to see Syrjäläinen runs that much faster than the other guys in a tough, physical demanding terrain. He's obviously been doing well with his winter training. And you can't get a much better start of the season than this.
He is telling to Even National that he's feeling really good still after a rather long training camp down in Hungary. And he is being doing a really lots of good trainings, and it's good for him to see that also the competitions is going well. But he's also telling that it was a pretty easy course he almost called it a boring course. So he didn't have any time loss at all, just 20 seconds or so.
Yeah, but you know, when it's an easy course, it's almost more impressive to be that far ahead of the others, because if you, the gap between him and number two is bigger than the gap between number two and number nine, for example. So very, very impressive. I think things are looking good for Helsingin Suunnistajat when we're talking about the relays that are coming up. Veli Kangas in fourth place, very impressive race for a runner like him. Of course, he's a very good orienteer, been doing some good results in Finland over the years and running stable races at the big relays. But he's competing at the individual level against runners that have a proper international CV, and he's doing really well, beating guys like Timo Sild and Emil Svensk. So yeah, Helsingin Suunnistajat with Syrjäläinen, Ojanau, Mathieu Perret and Veli Kangas and other strong runners, they are definitely one of the big challengers for the titles at Team Ylä-Nupola this year.
Yeah, but it will be really interesting to see. I think when Hagström is out, we definitely know who will run the last leg in the women's team in IFK Göteborg.
Yeah. Yeah, because Simone Abishold is obviously in really, really good form. Winning the long distance with over 4 minutes, and that was a big margin. Then she followed up today in the middle distance by winning with an even larger margin. 4 minutes and 47 seconds out of Teresia Noshiskova. It's an insane winning margin on a middle distance that didn't look really that tricky. The courses are on live log, so everyone can go in and analyze. So it's a very physical courses with some tricky controls, of course. But she's just running at a complete different level than the others. And it was a very good race from her, but it was not a perfect race. For example, she took one bad route choice on the longest leg of the course, where she lost some time. Looking at her speed from the other legs, if she had taken the same route choice as those who were faster, she would have been probably even a minute more ahead of the others than she was today. But yeah, Janoshiskova in second, Kosova in third place, and Andrine Benjamin in fourth place. And then there's another big gap down to Venla Harju, Sophie Backman, Ida Happala, Marika Teini. So, I mean, these are runners that are really, really good runners by international standards. And they are 5, 7, 8 minutes down. That's almost hard to believe.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Eva National has no comments from Eversol after this race. But I think we can analyze on behalf of the results and looking at the courses that she is doing really great. And it's a quite good melody to be Eversol at this moment going into the season. And Topi Syrjäläinen also could go back from Hungary with a smile on his face.
Yeah, so Syrjäläinen takes another victory here in the middle distance. 1.5 minutes ahead of Janis Bonek and Isak Jonsson that were sharing the second place. I think that's a big margin for a middle distance race. We've seen Janis Bonek being a very, very good measurement. If you look at his races as the last year, and the young Norwegians in second and fourth place, with Tobias Alstein fourth place, they are also runners that have a high potential on good days, and it seems like they had good days. And then the gap down to solid runners like Lauri Sild, Gustav Runefors, Zoltán Bojdos, or Emil Svensk is more than 3 minutes. So another good confirmation that Topi Syrjäläinen is definitely going to be a name to look out for in the forest races this year, both in Finland and especially also internationally.
When Eva National asked him about this big margins, he's telling he don't know why it's so big margin, but he is physically feeling really good and maybe he's better than before. Yeah, we could maybe confess that. But this middle distance was technically not as good as the long distance the day before, but he's questioning maybe he's peaking a bit too early. But that's also early to say if it's too early. But what is it said that it's better to peak sometime than never?
Definitely. I think it's never good. No, it's never a bad thing to run good races. And yeah, he said today that his race wasn't as good technically, but I mean, the long distance race, you can see on live looks, it looks really, really clean. And today on the middle distance, there were a few controls that were definitely a bit more tricky in the control circle. So it does make sense to have a little bit worse of a feeling of the technical performance after today. And yeah, I think... yeah, peaking early. I mean, he's a forest runner, so I think the sprint season isn't that relevant. So if he has some kind of form peak now and until Tiomila or something like that, then he still have a lot of time to find his second peak for European champs and the World Cup in Finland.
Yeah, we are, as we speak, it's 4 months till this European champs. We have many good runners there. Competing, do we already see any signs of favorite and which runner this terrain would suit or something like that? Any marks we will do in our notebook?
Yeah, I mean, definitely we have to mark down that the terrain suits Simon Abishol really well. The Finns are looking good, especially with Topi Sirolainen. But I think, yeah, also on the women's side, they are not in the top of the list, but yeah, they are there around. Venla Harju is around 5th and 6th place in both races, and we know that she's experienced. She's often at her best in the championships. Yeah, and I think it's a terrain that is... It seems pretty fair. It doesn't have to be a huge advantage to have a lot of similar terrain nearby your house. I think this is a type of terrain that all the top runners can deal with pretty well. But yeah, we will see. I was a little bit surprised of how white the maps are looking. I was kind of expecting it to be a little bit more green areas. But yeah, we will see. I don't think it's going to be a huge difference between these terrains and the European Championships terrain, but we'll see in August how those map looks like.
And next weekend we will see how the map looks like in the Swedish Night Champs and second part of the Stafettligan there when they're running Stigtomta-Kaveln, as they call it, Stigtomta Relay.
Yeah,
Friday it's night champs in Sweden.
Yeah, Friday night champs and then Stigtomta. It's it's night legs on Saturday and then day late on Sunday with the restart there. So a lot of good orienteering. Stigtomta-Kaveln used to have this some kind of low budget TV production. Some years it's really good, some other years it's not working that well. Hopefully it will be working well this year. So it will be some nice entertainment for the people at home. On Friday evening with the Swedish Night Champs, it's big starting fields. Around 60 women and 160 men are entered in the women and men 21. We don't have a lot of the top names from the national teams. On the women's side, for example, I think Emma Biesmo is the only one from the Swedish A national team. On the men's side, there's a couple of big names: Albin Riedefeld, Simon Imark, Simon Hector. But yeah, the beauty of these Swedish night champs is that there are always some surprises with individual start and pretty long courses in tricky terrain. There can be a lot of mistakes, and yeah, if one of those guys that are a little bit below national team level normally have a good race, That can lead to a nice surprise in the results list.
Talking about surprises, There was on this earlier on, it was like on television, you had this text television. It's 20 years ago. I still think we have it in Norway. And one guy, he looked at this text television after the night champs, and he saw Engstrand won night champs. And then he thought it was Emma Engstrand. That was before she married and changed name. But it was her younger brother, Erik Engstrand. And that was a real surprise.
Yeah, I wonder if that can even be so long time ago that it was before this new headlamps, or?
Yeah.
I think back then there was even higher chances for the big surprises in night champs. With the super lamps, it's a bit more like traditional orienteering. So it's more common that the best runners are actually doing the best races as well. I don't think we will see a similar surprise as the one time where Erik Engstrand won the Swedish night champs, 20 years ago?
No, then it was like you had the night runners and day runners and like that. We were talking like that. But it will be exciting to see more than 150 runners in the men's class and a couple of 60 runners in the women's class.
Yeah, big ones. And then also the relays is really big. On the women's side, it's 5 legs where you do 2 night legs and then 3 day legs. For the men, it's 6 legs where you do 3 night legs and 3 day legs. 60 teams on the women's side, a bit over 100 teams on the men's side. Unfortunately, not a lot of foreign teams. On the women's side, it's basically only the Swedish teams. And then you have ETs are taking part. On the men's side, you have basically only Swedish team, and then you have Fagrum Tisvilde and Tyrving. So some international colors there. But I think the biggest discussion point and the biggest controversy about the Stig Tomta Kavel and this year is that, I think it was last year was the first time it's allowed to double, so you can run both night legs and day legs. So even if the relay have 6 legs, you can still run with only 3 guys. And that's not been popular on the Swedish orienteering forums, with a lot of people complaining about that, and meaning it's removing a bit of the true spirit of a relay.
Yeah, that will be it will be really exciting to see, and also look at when Petter Öberg and those guys will have that production you mentioned.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned Petter Öberg, one of my favorite moments of the productions of Stig Tomta from early years is, it was one year I was, I don't know if I was sick or injured, I didn't run at least, so I was at home following the broadcast, and then Petter Öberg, he was this forest speaker, and he was waiting for the runners at one control at top of one of the nice hills in the area. And then he talked and he said that there was coming 1 lamp and 2 lamps, and they were going perfectly into his control. And then he saw on the hill next to the hill he was sitting at, there was a lot of lamps, and he was describing how these teams were making a big mistakes, because they were on the other hill and they just continued and they never came back to his hill. And then I think maybe after 5, 6, 7 minutes or something, then he realized that he was sitting at the fork control. So the other ones, they had the other forking.
And that's a good one. That's a good one. There is also other other competitions and other relays actually also this weekend.
Yeah, and that's probably the easy explanation of why there is basically no Norwegian teams at Stig Tomta and why there's no Finnish teams on Stig Tomta, because in Finland there is the first race of the Finnish Relay League, the Kevatjon VSD, live on IOF TV on Friday evening with Jonas Mertz as commentator. Probably very, very good entertainment for those sitting at home Friday evening, not knowing what to do. Then you have both the Swedish Night Champs and the VSD Liga. And in Norway, we have Halden O-meeting, which is world ranking events, Norwegian Cup races, and also I think there's a sprint race on Friday that is part of the selections for the World Cup round. So I expect to see really good start fields here with a lot of motivated sprinters.
They will actually do a 3,000 meter in the morning, then a sprint race in the evening. And you have to run the 3,000 to get in count for the selection. So everyone who wants to be taking part in the World Cup races this spring for Norway has to run both those races on Friday.
Yep, and then we also have some other world ranking events that might be interesting. We have the British Champ long distance, and we have a Czech Cup middle distance race. I haven't been looking at the entry list for these races, but if we are seeing some interesting names, then it might work to talk about a bit in our episode next week.
Yeah, and until then, you need to just go in and look at Kibbutz when he is going to the finish at the marathon, because that was the most impressive foreign orienteer this week, I think.
Yeah, so I think we can end this podcast on that. I think the previous orienteering record in marathon was the Swede Kjell Erik Ståhl. He was running at the Swedish national team in orienteering for many years before he turned over to marathon in his 30s. And I think he was running 2:10:30. So Kibbutz was about 3 minutes faster. So new official, unofficial orienteering world record on marathon, 2:07:44.
Yeah, and maybe we are setting also a personal record here today, being so fast and short in this episode. But that means that you can keep up listening to us also next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mannen dro ut og løp orientering med kart og kompass og med rektige sko. Sikta sågar etter beste notering, for kroppen var lett og god.
International Orienteering Podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg må møtte noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. International Orienteering Podcast.